Good morning and welcome. Thank you for joining us today, whether it's here or online. We are reminded that all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. We've gathered here this morning for the funeral of John William Taminga. John was a loving husband, a devoted father, thoughtful son, committed brother, a gentle friend, sincere and encouraging colleague. John was also an avid boater, a disciplined fitness buff, an able treasurer of our church, a generous volunteer of mercy to the community. He was committed to even his sound booth tasks. He was a curious student of psychology and religion. He was a careful observer of human nature, and he was a thoughtful singer-songwriter. And yet we're here this morning because John was given the challenge of a short battle with aggressive cancer. He fought through that battle. He fought with courage, with grace, with humility, with focus. Even his last words were words of love and thanksgiving. That battle has ended. And why begin this way? Because I want you to know this morning that in all these things, as husband, father, friend, colleague, church member, or cancer patient, John was very aware of the goodness of God. And he wanted that to be the theme. In spite of everything else, remember that God is good. I give you two evidences or proofs of that. In one of the songs he wrote, recorded just a month ago, John sang, "We should take a good look around us. Breathe in all of his creation, that's God's creation. Never let a blessing escape you. Remember all he's done." The second evidence of John's desire is, last week I asked him what he would want to say to all of you. He said, "There's two things I want said. First, you need to know and believe God's love." This is John's words, desire for you. You need to know this. You need to believe this. And second part of what he wanted said is this. You need to realize that every prayer that has gone up for John, apart from the prayer for miraculous healing, every prayer has been answered. He was convinced of it. It's the goodness of God. And so our purpose this morning is to, as John would have wished, consider death in light of the goodness of God, as seen in Christ Jesus and the hope of resurrection. Please join with me in singing from Psalter 60 all the stanzas. This was John's favorite selection from our church's songbook. So we'll sing, I think it's four stanzas that are in your program, actually. We'll sing the four stanzas that are in the program. Please join me in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, eternal God, you know everything. We come before you this morning reminded that life here is uncertain. It is short. And however long it is in years, the length of our lives is as nothing in your sight. Do we ask, gracious God, for your presence here this morning? As we are reminded of what John desired, your goodness and love, Lord, we thank you for the life of John. We thank you for him. We thank you for the gifts that you gave him. We thank you for caring for him and allowing him to care for us. And even through the dark valley of these last 4 months, Lord, he has reminded us over and over that you are still good, We thank you for hearing John's prayers. We thank you for hearing the many prayers for him. We thank you for giving John peace with his cancer diagnosis and throughout his treatments. We thank you also for the peace given to Mel and Joey, Mackenzie and Jake. We thank you that the pain John had at the beginning of his cancer lifted. And we thank you that he died without significant pain. We thank you for the compassionate and skilled doctors and nurses. We thank you for those who could surround John at home, in the hospital, and encourage him. We thank you for the witness that John was throughout this trial, and the way that that witness strengthened the faith of other believers, but also made those who don't know you ask questions. We thank you for the memories you've given to us of John. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the many people who've supported John and Melanie and their family in these months, and especially in the last couple of weeks. We see all these gifts, Lord, and we know we don't deserve them. We are least deserving, and yet we see these things as from the hand of an almighty Father who knows what we need and who cares for both body and soul. And so, Lord, we come this morning asking for your presence, but also admiring you, praising you for your goodness and wisdom and mercy and grace. Your love, Lord, to broken people is astounding. And Lord, we come confessing this morning that we are broken, we are hurting, we mourn. Help us to mourn as those with hope. We give you thanks for the gospel and for the redemption of soul and body and the hope of glory. And we pray that our minds would be directed to your truth now. Please strengthen Melanie and Joey, Mackenzie and Jake, parents, Peter and Mary and Phil and Sue, and the siblings and the rest of the family throughout this day. And use this service to your honor. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Turn to some scriptures that call us to reflect on our own short lives. Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5, calls us to reflect on the brevity of our lives. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you've made my days as a handbreadth. My age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor, a breath. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Everyone who believes that gospel is promised a glorious future. Revelation 21, 3 through 7, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Dad would be proud of you. Thanks. If you are able, please stand. And if it is in your heart, please join us in making confession of our Christian faith through the answer to the Heidelberg Catechism's question, What is your only comfort in life and death? That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yes, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready to live unto him. John knew that comfort. On Saturday, around 6:30, John died. Yes, we say he died. But he passed from these shadows through the doorway into eternal glory. Life. Around his bed here, families and friends singing. But I think the songs he heard were other ones. Because as his body was drawing its last earthly breaths, John's arms lifted. Oh God, oh God. He knew this comfort. Let's sing together for All and All, which is a song John often played on his guitar. And after the song's concluded, you may be seated. Last Friday evening, it was my privilege to read to John, and the passage that we read was from Romans 8, and I'd like you to turn there at this time. The passage we're going to read is in your program. This will be the basis for our short meditation. Hear the word of God. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of God. Dear Melanie, Joey, Mackenzie, Jake, Peter and Mary, Phil and Sue, siblings, friends, church family, colleagues. John was given a challenge of a short battle against aggressive cancer that has ended, but he didn't lose. He didn't lose. He conquered. Actually, he's more than a conqueror. How, you wonder? Well, he knew and believed the truth of Romans 8:37. This passage of Scripture is speaking of those who believed God and have endured great suffering. The suffering in the passage, the context, is described as bondage to corruption, groaning, distress, evil, peril, danger. It's a war, it's a battle. And yet the truth of chapter 8, verse 37 is, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We want to notice four things about this verse. First, that there's a great need for those who are conquerors. The word conqueror here doesn't mean people who stand above other people or crush them or abuse them. No, that's not the type of conqueror here. There's a great need for those who have victory over sin. People are by nature weak, broken, subject to death. The sin and the brokenness all around means things aren't the way they are supposed to be. And then you think of situations like tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or peril or disease. There's a reason it feels wrong. Because it's not the way God created the world. And Paul's writing to the Romans saying, as you face these tribulations, what's going to get you through? At the time of the Romans, the tribulation was often in the Colosseums, bears, lions, gladiators, ferociously destroying lives. The suffering's real, the hardship hard to comprehend. We put it in our own situation and it seems unsurmountable. The suffering. And then the questions around the suffering. And the wondering why. It's all part of our suffering. Now people try to remedy these things by themselves. Too often, people try to ignore God. They deny sin and the consequences for sin. They want to be in control of their own lives, and they make their own rules. They establish their own definitions of love. But that won't help them be conquerors. You see, all these things are around every one of us. Different situations, yes. But the brokenness is around every one of us. Have we learned to throw away all that brokenness? John wrote in another one of his songs, "Please name me just one thing that we've done right. The world that we know will not give us our peace. Only in a certain promise will all of our hate then surcease. We build destruction and love to hate, yet we seek the answers of life in ourselves. Global catch 22, easier to remain blind than face the truth. Please take my love for this world away." And you see, when you turn away from the things that are broken, it doesn't lead to despair. It leads to the possibility to be a conqueror. And that's the second thing we need to notice. Those who turn to God are conquerors. And how, you say, well, it's only possible to be a conqueror through Him. Who's the Him? The love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. More than conquerors, through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now I know many things have been done, many people conquered, many places demolished. With this as a slogan, a motto. And those conquering say they're conquering in the name of Jesus Christ. But you see, that's not understanding what this is actually saying. This is not saying let's conquer and do horrible things. No, in all these things, the tribulations around us, there are those who are more than conquerors through Him who loved. Jesus Christ loved, gave Himself so that people might live. As Joey read, God so loved the world that He sent His Son. And you see, that love that gives power to emerge stronger is only possible through Jesus Christ. And how do we conquer? Not by going to ourselves or our own solutions, but placing our faith in Christ. Christ's love is not conditional, it's sovereign. We don't love Him, He loves first, even the least of all people. And you see, Christ's love isn't just for the good days, it's eternal love. He's loved with an everlasting love, with loving kindness. I have drawn people, He says. And it's not stingy love, it's rich love, it's rich in mercy because of His great love wherewith He loved us. And you see, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ and we know that Christ is in us and we in Him spiritually, we begin to see and understand this love, and we see it's not shallow, it's not tiny, it's not kept in a box, but this is grand love, and it passes our knowledge and understanding. And you see, then when we come to a difficult time, we don't question that love, but it's certain. By this we know love, because He, Christ, laid down His life for us. And through the scriptures today, through the witness of John and others, you're reminded of that love today. It's possible to be a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loved. And you see, then, it's not just possible, it's certain. John was a polished person. And yet he was very aware that conquering doesn't come from being professional. Conquering doesn't come from being ambitious. Conquering doesn't come through discipline or stubbornness or perfectionism. One's not a conqueror because of church membership or a great family or even corporate success. We are more than conquerors only through Him who loved us. And this love then has a power that exceeds what earthly success can bring you. Yes, it brings gifts. But you see, it's the love of Christ that's a power that exceeds tribulation or disease. And when we know the love of Christ and say, this surpasses even my cancer, brings a different perspective to living, doesn't it? Because through Jesus Christ, you can be a conqueror even in a struggle. Even when you feel like you're in a free fall. That's the third thing we need to realize from this passage, is the conquering doesn't come just because things have been easy. The conquering happens even in the middle of a trial. Even when people wonder how you can say that God is still good. This cancer could not separate John from the love of God. When the diagnosis came, did Christ love him less? When the chemo didn't work, did Christ love him less? Are Christ's gifts, His favors, only stingily handed out when things are prospering on earth? There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You see, people may hand out things based on how people respond. If things are going well, then we'll support you. But you see, that's not the way Christ loves. It's not the way Christ treats those who are His own. It's as verse 31 says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God's for us, what can be against us? He who delivered His own Son, shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now, I'm not naive. There is evil that wants you to doubt this. And doubt will point to the chemo and the withering of a vibrant life and the loss of such a great guy. And doubt will wonder, how is Christ's love evident in this? How does this make sense? What's their conquering? Where's the conquering here? God's word gives us the answer. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that break down, wear out. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. The brokenness of the body doesn't mean God's not good. The brokenness comes because of sin. But you see, grace, living despite brokenness, shows that God is good. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We have the treasure of grace in a earthen vessel, a body of dust, that the dust will decay and break down. But you see, the grace still shines through, and it's that way so that the conversation, the greater conversation, would be about the power of God and not about the vessel. People could have looked at John 2 years ago, a year ago, and have seen a young, successful, vibrant man. And if he were to talk, if he had talked to you of God then, it would have, could have been, yes, of course. Glad you believe it. Glad it works for you. Your life is good. But you see, God took the vibrance out of John. He allowed disease, so much so that John could hardly handle a step. Hardly say a word, sentence. Not because God didn't love John, and not because God left John, but so that everyone would see. John didn't believe in God as good because everything was going well. John saw God as good because even when John was weak, God filled him with even more spiritual grace. John was able to see the Savior, and he was able to see that the Savior did not stop loving. He had that faith that even though his body was weakening, it's Jesus Christ who's gone before me, bearing the ultimate sacrifice, dying for others. And Christ is loving, compassionate, even for hurting people here. In another one of his songs, John describes the love of Christ this way. He, referring to Christ, stares with his hands wide open at a world who doesn't think of him. But hello, does he recognize your pain? More than we can know. But then he says, I'm right here. And then, oh, he can change your ways, saying, forsake all. Just follow me. John didn't record this when things were going really well. He recorded this when things were hurting. See, this is true. This love of Christ follows everyone who believes, not just through the good times, but even through the darkest valleys. John never lost his battle. He never lost his way. The battle ended, but he's a conqueror because he's given victory. He received victory. Victory in Jesus Christ because of Jesus Christ. But you see, in Christ, then John is, as the text says, a super conqueror. He's a more than a conqueror. He's alive. He lives. He lives with freedom. He lives with joy. In all these tribulations, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You see, through Christ, we're not just going to survive. Everyone who believes will be more than a conqueror. They will not fall to the trials and the pressures of life. Even the devastation of cancer cannot destroy them. They are more than conquerors. They will live. They will live knowing the love of Christ hasn't left them, but it's been with them, it's kept them, it's been, as it were, a bubble around them, so that even through the trial, through the battle, they won't just survive, but they will thrive. It's because of the perfect and complete redemption of Jesus Christ that this isn't just possible, but it's guaranteed. It's complete. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, what is conquered then becomes our selfishness, our pride, our sin, the impact of brokenness, death. More than conqueror, because all these things are gone. My sinful soul conquered, my remaining doubt of God's love conquered, my questions about His goodness in 2021 conquered. And then think about it in light of death. Believers in Jesus Christ defeat the last enemy. They enter that battle, maybe even afraid, but they defeat that last enemy of death, and every believer's a victor. They never lose. Completely, overwhelmingly victorious. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that was written, death is swallowed up in victory. I am persuaded. John was persuaded. Are you persuaded? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we need your Spirit, your grace, that we too might be conquerors. And we pray that we would stop striving to fight based on our own ingenuity or strength or character. May we come before you humble, broken, humbled by our need, our own foolishness, our own forgetfulness, our own stumbling. May we be humbled by the many times we come to dead ends and no longer have solutions, or even questions, the right questions. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes so that we would see your redeeming love. We pray this morning, Lord, for those who do believe in Christ Jesus. We ask that you would give to them increasing confidence and faith in his love, that nothing, not even cancer or death or the loss of a husband or a father or a family member or a friend, can separate them from your love. You will keep loving. Father, we ask that you would be with Melanie in a particular way. Surround her with your presence. Lead her, guide her, help her, strengthen her. Do not let her fear, but remind her that you are holding her in the palm of your hand, and your love extends to her as well. Please be with Joey and Mackenzie and Jake. Father, we grieve thinking about all the life events here and memories that they will go through without their dad. And yet we thank you for their submission, their expressions of hope. And we ask that you would encourage them as well. Pray again for John's parents, his in-laws, siblings, families, his church. Help them to mourn as those with hope. Pray that you would forgive the sins, even of this day. And Lord, it was John's prayer, and it's our prayer now, that you would use this sickness and this funeral so that many people would be convinced that you are good, and that many would come to know you and celebrate victory in Christ Jesus. Hear our prayers. Continue with the family through the rest of today and into the weeks, months, years ahead. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we'll sing from Psalter 430, stanza 3. What is in your program is not 430, stanza 3, so I would ask that you use the blue Psalter in front of you, and we will turn to 430 and sing just stanza 3. This time, John's brother Peter will come up and give us some reflections on John's life.
First, I wanted to thank everyone who's been offering an incredible outpouring of support to the entire family over the past 4 months. This support has displayed itself in so many forms, and I speak for the entire family that it's humbling and extremely appreciated. Most of you, but not all of you, are aware that John was a Christian who valued the relationship with Christ and his church. Now that John has been lifted up, we are in awe of the many steps that has brought us here today. Today is a day to mourn for his absence, but more importantly, acknowledge the path set before him by a great and awesome God. John and I grew up together very close. We were 13 months apart, and any and all adventures included both of us. I wrote him a letter in the last few weeks in hopes to express my deep love and sorrow. And he responded, "The letter is very well done, Peter. No surprises, really. I just know you too well." When I started that letter, I anticipated writing about the many experiences that we shared, only to find that I couldn't write about any of them because the events themselves were irrelevant. It was the relationship, the deep connection, the trust, the love, the compassion, the understanding that makes up a relationship. The experiences were only the vehicle to which the relationship develops. I feel like a large portion of my identity was directly associated with the relationship I had with John. I can only imagine that Melanie feels the same way. I wrote this in my letter to John, and he was quick to correct me that those who belong to Christ, our identity is in Christ and not in ourselves. It seems that in the 90s, many movies seem to include a storyline of an absent father. And believe it or not, this actually stuck with John and motivated him never to be one of those fathers. We were blessed to have a mother and father that set an excellent example in front of us of sacrifice, love, and consistency of faith. Saturday evening after John had passed, Reverend Van Brugge asked us what our fondest memory of John was, and there was silence, mostly because a flood of memories could be drawn from. Shortly after, I came to the realization that the most cherished moments within the past few years with John were the small instances I had him to myself. We shared awesome memories with family up north in our happy place, and I had a deep love for Melanie and their children. I do. I did. When John got married, he devoted all of himself to his wife and children. I found myself cherishing the times we had alone to get that feeling back we had as kids. As I look back now, the 20 minutes we took to go to the boat launch at the cottage and just be John and Peter again just felt so good. John's passion for Melanie, Joey, Kenzie, and Jake was so intense. He loved the children so much and could see so much of his wife in them. John and I spoke about how he loved that he and Mel shared so much passion for the kids and had so much fun with them. He valued Mel being at home, being an excellent mother, always present for the children, and would not have had it any other way. His joy was seeing the kids and the family enjoy themselves, and we could learn so much from him in this way, especially myself, who struggles with overpowering need of feeling productive in all things of this world that pass away. I have so much respect for that man. His example would drive me for the rest of my life to be a better husband, father, and friend. John used to criticize or poke fun at me for being constantly busy, always involved in a project. He preferred to enjoy and soak in every moment with his family, not to ever take anything away from his dedication and passion for working hard at his job. We often spoke about starting a business together, but he always wanted to focus 100% of his efforts on one thing at a time. We have all had people in our life that lift our hearts when they're present. Those people become much more obvious when you experience the permanent feeling of their death. John was that person for me. He simply made me a better version of myself, and his opinion always was the most important to me. My future, my dreams, Mel's future, Mel's dreams, the kids' future, and their dreams, all included John. We now have to recreate those hopes and dreams with a different perspective. This new perspective must include grace, provision, and will of Christ, our eternal King. We have already experienced his intense love and grace throughout John's fight with cancer. We cannot forget all good things come from God's hand. We mourn this loss, but more importantly, we need to show our appreciation, thanksgiving, and praise for the time he has given us with John. We have to thank God for his good gifts. We thank God for a co-worker, one who was willing to perform humorous songs at the office, meetings, and was eager and genuine in his desire to help his co-workers and dealer contacts. We thank God for a friend, one who was trustworthy, caring, and was willing to sit or stand for hours in conversation, whether on park benches, parking lots, or hockey dressing rooms. We thank God for a grandson, one that took time to share valued moments with his grandparents by taking them to Remembrance Day at Hamilton Warplane Museum because he knew how much it meant to his grandfather. We thank God for a brother, one who showed us what it meant to hold on to our values and faith, one who set a high standard of hard work, respect, kindness, and love that we must strive to replicate. We thank God for a son that had a deep love for his parents. And made them so proud of the boy and man he became. With John and my dad sharing a relationship with Chrysler, you could tell that John's success and the fact he was appreciated by his co-workers made my dad very proud. We thank God for a father, one who gave everything he had to put on a smile on the face of his children, but also one who deeply cared for the development of their character in both body and soul. We thank God that John and Mel had time to create special memories in his last days for their children. We thank God for a husband, one who absolutely adored and admired his wife. His wife and best friend for over 19 years, 13 of those married. A husband that was honorable and feared God, a husband that will be missed by his bride in so many ways that many of us will never comprehend. Melanie, thank you for your intense and love and support for John. We are so incredibly thankful you have blessed them with your character, joy, and passion over the last 19 years. Thank you for the love and care you provided John in his last months with us. We love and respect you dearly. Your faith has been so vibrant and uplifting for so many throughout this time. We continue to pray that God will bless you with continued strength and wisdom each and every day. We also pray that this experience will bring you even closer to God and serve you and serve his purpose as we continue to support one another and the beautiful family he has created for us. We thank God that John's death is in body and not in spirit. We all have to strive for the glorification he is now experiencing, free of pain and suffering. God sent his son to sacrifice himself through death for our sins, that we could benefit and acquire the hope and promise of eternal life in heaven. John's passion, as his life here drew to a close, was to share this message with as many people as possible. God gives and takes away. Blessed be his name. Let us remember that God loved us first. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Peter. In a few moments, the family will be ushered out of the sanctuary. If you're able, I'd ask that you remain standing for that. D. due to restrictions and limits, the luncheon that follows this service is only for those who've received a personal invitation. The family thanks you for your understanding. As you exit, in a moment, we ask that you exit to the parking lot and have any further conversations there. At this time, please stand and join me in singing "In Christ Alone."